Welcome to SciTech Culture with Steve Kern and Ben Warner, where we examine science, technology and culture in the 21st century. Visit our website at scitechculture.com.
So been off for a couple of weeks, and you know, you can't get be off for a couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden Apple CEO resigns, and then what are you going to do? Like, you know, it's interesting that the I don't think this news of Tim Cook stepping down and John Ternus, the hardware the guy in charge of the hardware over at Apple, don't think that was coming as any big surprise, because there'd been you know, rumors and reporting about this for quite some time, and you know that, you know, Apple were, you know, even as I think it was only as little as 2 weeks ago, Tim Cook was saying that he's happy, he's healthy, he loves coming in every day, and there's no plans to change anything until they make the announcement that, hey, we're doing this, because we've been thinking about this for probably 5 years at this point. We need to make sure that there's a proper transition. But I guess it had to happen at some point. I find what's interesting about this more than anything else is that one can argue that Tim Cook, in taking over from Steve Jobs, he really turned it into a machine, and I would say a money printing machine at this point. You know, he took it from, you know, where it was to probably the most valuable company in the world, stock market wise. And what's interesting now is that you've got someone coming in that is clearly a product person. So Tim Cook was never really the product person. He was the operational machine person. Nothing wrong with that. I guess that's just what it was. But now we're getting a product guy coming back. Now, obviously, he's not Steve Jobs, who's going to argue about removing a USB port before telling everyone 4 weeks later to put it back in. I think this might be a good thing, actually. And maybe some of Apple's recent products like the MacBook Neo, the way they changed up the iPhone lineup this year, were they signs that of the new guy coming in to shake things up a little bit?
Well, it's a really good question, Ben. I mean, this is probably a good time to reflect on Apple and Steve Jobs's legacy, which was products and amazing products. But it's also important to remember that at the heart of the original iPod, which accelerated Apple to this, you know, innovative, cutting-edge company, which it always was, but this is what gave it that sort of visibility, was the fact Toshiba had actually created the world's smallest hard drive and didn't know what to do with it. But someone at Apple that Steve Jobs has employed found it, and there suddenly you've got the iPod.
Mm.
So for Turner's coming in, is there technology around like that that can be adapted into products and for Apple to take another giant leap again? I mean, if we reflect on Tim Cook, I would probably say, as you point out, I think he came from Compaq originally, where he was in operations, and Steve Jobs, I think, recruited him, or certainly would have signed off on his recruitment. I don't think anyone got recruited without his approval. So Tim Cook came in, and we all know the story now that, you know, he basically tightened the supply chain, really harmonized the probably not the product side, but harmonized the rest of Apple to be efficient, reliable, and producing premium products, the products.
And at scale as well. That's an important.
And at scale, yeah. Without him, his legacy allowed Apple to scale, you know, from what did they used to be? 5% of the market tops, you know, and they're probably more than tripled that. Certainly the iPhone is the market leader with regards to phones. So anyway, I guess, you know, if there is technology around now and we go back to a product guy, maybe we'll see something as remarkable as the iPod or the iPad.
Potentially, or at the very least, that maybe some of their existing lines might get streamlined a bit. You know, that whole thing about there's too many products to pick from, maybe they might scale that back a bit. Or maybe they'll, if they're going to offer different models, that there's actually more differentiation, you know, to make a reason to exist, to have those extra models in there. Like rumors, like the classic one being this year, being that, you know, a folding iPhone comes in with like a pro iPhone, a thin iPhone, a regular iPhone and a budget iPhone is a bit more varied, I guess, compared to just a couple of different shades of the same thing, which they probably had, I would say, since about 2020, I think, you know, for about 5 years. Like, there wasn't really anything exciting going on with the iPhone models. It's not that they weren't really good phones. It's just we weren't like, oh, wow, that's an amazing phone they've just rolled out.
Well, that is one thing that has occurred to me over, you know, probably the last 10 years or so. I mean, let's face it, the first, what, up to the iPhone 6, you know, it came out, the iPhone, you know, there was one iPhone, you know, and then you had the iPhone S. No, we didn't, because the S was the other year.
I think from that 6 point, they had the 6 and the 6 Plus, and then I think there was the iPhone 10 that got introduced over the top of those, and then...
So you're looking at one or two models per iPhone, and now we're going the same way as the iPad, where there's 4, and then there'll be 6, and then there'll be 8, and that suggests to me that, you know, they're producing individual or creating more individuality in the range, because they don't have the hottest product anymore. But, you know, to be fair, a phone is a phone these days. So, you know, a different color, a different spec, a different camera can make all the difference, I guess, to somebody in the market to buy one.
Absolutely. We'll be good to see how this goes. Accordingly, apparently, Tim Cook's officially stepping down as of the 1st of September, and Turner's takes over at that point. That probably means that the upcoming WWDC will be Tim Cook's last time to, you know, roll out on virtual stage to say, to introduce things. And this will probably be the first iPhone announcement where he's not running it, because that changeover date is right before the next iPhone, well, it's expected next iPhone announcement. So interesting times about how that will go. And I mean, it's inevitable. These things got to keep rolling on.
Yeah, well, it's hard to believe that I think Turnus will be CEO number 9.
And that's one last point I wanted to touch on. No. There have been more than just 2 CEOs of Apple. I've seen this reported widely about people just assuming that Steve Jobs started the whole thing. Well, yeah, he did, with Steve Wozniak, of course, but he didn't start it in 97 or 98 when he came back.
And he wasn't even the original CEO. So I should go back to Isaacson's biography on Jobs, which is actually a pretty good read for anyone who hasn't read it. So I think they had 2 before Jobs, then they had 2 after Jobs, then Jobs came back, then Cook. So I remember
it's Michael. It's about eight, I think.
It's about eight. So there was Scully, who came from Pepsi, who was a disaster, recruited by Jobs, and Guillermardio, who was CEO while Jobs was in Next outside. And he was the guy that I've never forgiven, because he made about 40 Apple products, and the only difference between them was the 630 or the 640 with the C, the LC. Anyway, it was too much for me.
Well, I guess he did have the foresight to buy Next, though, didn't he? So, And then the rest is history, as they say. Yes, absolutely. All right, just one last thing I wanted to touch on before we wrap it up today was, you know, the existential topic of retirement. Not that we're retiring anytime soon by any means, but I want to wrap this into a lot of the advice space that seems to happen online. And if you think about even just more generally finance or property or tech tips or whatever you want to think about, retirement fits into this as well. There's, you know, all these very generalized, cliched kind of advice peddling that's going on out there in relation to this. And I was quite surprised the other day when the feed spat out a retirement video, because I have been watching a few of these just to see what the zeitgeist is like about what you're supposed to be thinking about. And mean disagreeing with almost all of it. But anyway, this video comes up, and I thought, this was a bit more noteworthy, because instead of peddling the same old thing, which is, oh, you need connection, you need to be keep your calendar busy, you need to be, you know, filling up with things, otherwise you might, you know, lose a step, or you might, you know, whatever. This one actually was actually saying, hang on a minute, you know, most retirement advice is for, you know, peddled through the extrovert lens. Introverts might actually like a lot of time to themselves, and retirement might actually be the perfect time for that. And that you shouldn't, and if you're getting told that your retirement's going to be a failure because you don't have 10 friends you can keep on a regular calendar schedule, or you don't have a list of activities booked every single day, or you're not having all the social connection, you know, 24/7 that you should be getting. I thought it was just a refreshing change of pace to have someone say, hey, if you only want to like catch up with one person for the entire week and you want to keep to yourself the rest of the time because you want to read a book for 6 hours on a Monday afternoon, that's what you should probably go for. Because if that's what makes you happy and you're retired and that's, you know, you've kind of built your working life towards that point, why not take advantage of what you actually want to do, not what other people are telling you what to do?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. As an introvert, you know, on the one hand, I found it refreshing that somebody actually would say that. But on the other hand, it was so internet. It was just the polar opposite of the extrovert case. One thing is true. Yes, you know, as an introvert, you don't need to go out and like, you know, spend every waking moment out there in extrovert land. But by the same token, the real danger for an introvert is just locking themselves up, enjoying it too much. And then the world passes them by. They miss out on important information that they should have known about if they spoke to friends or if they were connected into some sort of community or, you know, and that's actually the danger. So, you know, while I agree largely with what the video was saying, it was kind of almost saying, no, yeah, it's fine to go and lock yourself in a box and tell everyone else to rack off.
But as long as you like and subscribe, I noticed that was still part of the... that was still part of the video. But yeah, no, you're right. Maybe this is more of a general internet question entirely. It's good to have different points of view, but you kind of raise up an interesting point there. It's like, why have it as an opposition to an existing thing as opposed to this is another point of view? Like the internet has to raise one point and a counterpoint in a way that puts them into opposition because that drives the algorithm.
I would have thought, yeah, exactly right. Because I totally agree with the message, but the execution was just to, you know, be the counterpoint, not to actually show that there's another way to achieve this. So anyway, it's not.
But was it a failure, Steve, if they got over 100,000 views for the video or whatever?
Okay, I guess I'm going to become a retirement coach.
It is interesting just to finish up because I've obviously thought about this in that, you know, that you've got no choice but to follow the template. If you want to do that, then we're always going to be locked into watching this type of advice.
Oh, that's it. You know, most people tell you to retire, you know, but those they're retirement people. Like, don't retire. That's my advice to you. Keep going forever.
Yeah, just one more year. Keep working because, you know, the next achievement might be right around the corner.
And you can never have enough money.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Steve, I might wrap it up there. Interesting. Just to circle back here, I am interested to see where Apple goes in the future. And I think the next couple of months might be interesting. I'm curious to see how the next range of, public announcements are done with the transition to new leadership, so to speak.
Do you pick a big change or do you think it'll just be steady as she goes?
I'm sure they've got it set up as steady as she goes, but I'm kind of hoping that there'll be a slow ocean liner move from purely operational considerations to let's do some interesting things with products again.
Well, that's exciting.
Absolutely. All right, so that's it for this week's episode. We'll catch you next time.